You might like to turn in your Bible to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. And in the light of our day, you have to be very discerning, or at least make an effort to be, when it comes to the news by sight or by media in any form. You have to be careful. And in the process, these headlines that keep coming all over the country, I'm sure, headlines, New York and all of it, New York Times and all of it. But here's one here from the Current: democracy attacked. And they got all kinds of stuff. Don't go by that. Be discerning. What you see, touch, taste, count to 10 and where's it coming from? And the attack, we did a little of it already. You know all those pieces better than I do. They were hired henchmen. The bad guys were hired to come in, buses. And the doors were opened by the police to let them in, etc. And this here, and in the process, just to add to all of that list, because the people say, well, we don't know, the bad million people did bad. Everybody did bad. No, they did not. And just the other night, yesterday, you probably heard it in news. By the way, when you hear news these days, try to pick up the news as quick as it happens. Because once it happens, and anything, they say things and do things like they, you know, but the next minute, it's all gone. They'll never show it again. So you got to catch everything. And I remember I shared that 100 years ago with you. The plane that crashed out there in the Long Island Sound, going to Europe or wherever it was, it had the 12 flask of AIDS in it. And you know, you never... And I remember the news. I was right watching it at that time at night. And the guy was on the beach there down in Long Island looking. And he said the plane crashed. And he said, and there were 12 flasks of whatever, bottles of AIDS on it. And you caught it. But you never heard it again. You never heard it again. You got to catch it when it's right there. Don't go by what you see or what you hear. They aren't going to tell you. It just isn't going to happen. And so you need to know that. Oh, I started to say, the FBI knew, and the FBI spokesman, I listened to the guy, and I leaned forward. I said, now tell me that again. And I pushed it back so I could hear it again. The FBI guy said, we knew they were coming. We knew they were coming on to do this, but we didn't do anything at this point. We knew they were coming. That's the FBI. Now, why can't the people up there in Congress, don't they have access to this information? Well, that's my question. Why do us little guys out here have to hear it? Anyway, that's that. I just say that because we're trying to keep ourselves on track. And in the process, the system doesn't want anything to do with being sound, safe, and serious. They don't want anything to do with that. So, here we are looking, and in the light of Sunday, try up in Psalm 112. And you will note, please, God, hot books. And I'm going to read verse 1 if I can. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Sliding down to verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies, etc. Now, So having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of that. So here's, we're looking, and the heart of the believer was to look to God, just like David, walking through the valley of the deep darkness. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So we have it, we're to have a heart fixed, focused, like your eye, bringing it all in and taking everything and bring it in, laser, like a laser beam. Focus, bring it in so you can see it, to understand it. We need to be focused. Now, we have to be careful because our sight, our hearing, sight, touch, taste, smell, our senses are always this way because we're seeing and we're feeling and we're hearing. That's what we're doing. So we have to be careful, we have to overcome that so that we can succeed properly. So, over if you would please to Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 11. And you will please note, in the light, God, we want to be focused. And we don't want to fear evil. We don't want to have to succumb to things, which we are so apt to do, because it's on physical, earthly existence. And there's nothing like the experience of being human among humans. All us humans are surrounded by other humans. And that's quite an experience on earth. However many years you live, you've been living with humans. All humans doing just like they do. So that's history. Now, so here, without turning there, 2 Corinthians and chapter 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith, by means of faith. Faith is the agent to do it. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's the only way we can do it. How can we walk and fear no evil? How do we walk in the midst of darkness and evil and make it? How do we do it? Our heart is fixed, and we're looking to God, by walk by faith, locking on to God. I got to understand that in order to make it. Hang on, we'll try to do this. We got to get down. I can see everything as best I can, and I understand as best I can, and I'm involved in what the headlines are saying and what this one's saying and this one's doing and this thing is happening. I'm caught up in it. That's how we are, for good or bad, depending. So we walk by faith. Now, that's being thoroughly persuaded, convinced, certainly convinced, and convinced to the point of no questions asked. You're thoroughly trusting. So Hebrews 11:6, adding to that, you know it, watch it. Let it all come together again for you. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it's impossible to please God without faith. We must believe that God is. How are we going to believe about the invisible God? Because God has given us, here we are in his presence, but we don't go by his presence. We go by our senses, what we see, touch, taste, smell, what we hear. That's what we go by. We don't go by the presence of God. Not no offense to anybody. We just don't. We're geared to earth. We aren't geared to God. We will be. So God, what have we got to do? We got to go by faith. We got to go by trusting God straight out. God is God. In the beginning, God. That's where we start. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, faith, slide over. You gotta honor God for God. Therefore, chapter 12. After you have 11 about faith, as you know, and if it can, in Hebrews chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 1, we'll go to that way. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that's the chapter 11, as you read it, a great, awesome chapter about all of the believers that trusted God in every kind of which way. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us what? Lay aside every weight, encumbrance, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, that's unbelief, easily beset us, and let us run with patience, bearing up under the load, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Well, how on earth are we going to proceed? Looking unto Jesus, the author, the leader, the one who's ahead of you, who's telling you how to go. I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. God's with me. I'm not going to fear evil. I'm in the middle of the darkness. But God has no darkness. In God is no darkness at all. So I'm going to walk with God. And therefore, looking unto Jesus, the author, the leader, and the finisher. He's going to start. He's going to work it through. He's going to finish it. That's what we're going to do. And of our faith. And the word faith there has the word the in front of it. The faith. So without faith, that's our personal being persuaded to trust God. How do we trust God? Chapter 12, verse 2. The finisher of our faith. That's the body of truth that we're supposed to be believing. We're resting on God's word so we can understand and relate to God intelligently and practically by his word. Hang on. And looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, what did he do? He went through a terrible, terrible, terrible. Who was for him? Well, the disciples had all backed off, had all disappeared, as it were, almost except John or so. And in the process of all of that, the Rome, Pontius Pilate, and the Jews, who's for them? Who's for them? And they aren't having a picnic. They're putting him through a terrible series of trials, and they're going to crucify him. Now, that doesn't sound like very good. So that's why God's going to say later, don't you start saying your circumstances are horrible and you, God, you don't understand. God said, don't say that to me. He said, I went through something you couldn't even dream of. So don't tell me, said God, that I don't know what I'm talking about. So what I'm telling you is that God, what are we going to do? We're going to look unto Jesus, the leader, the author, and the finisher of the body of truth that we're resting on, believing, and looking to. So here we are, having a firm persuasion, looking to God. Now, having said that, let's lock it in even more. So I'm going to get it focused. Matthew chapter 17 again. And in Matthew chapter 17, and you will note, this is the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John go up with him. And remember now, they see, verse 3, 17, 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. So, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's Moses and Elijah, which they never met or knew of personally, and they were exposed to the person of Moses and Elijah. And in the process, they wanted to just have him stay there. What a wonderful trio, Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. Wow. And we do it. So what Moses is the law, Elijah's the prophets, the law and the prophets. Well, God, hang on to everything? No, because you remember in verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And when they looked up, Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, don't be afraid. Why not? And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save or except Jesus only. So here's the Bible. Here's all the things in life, all the things, good things and all kinds of things. God, we're looking. Here's this one said this, and this happened over there, and here's a truth here. No, God said, Jesus only. Looking unto Jesus, the author, leader, and finisher of faith, of our faith. Where's our faith? We walk by faith. We're going to look to God. That's what we're going to do. Now, look to God. Now, hang on to that, because here we are in the presence of God, and we can see and feel and touch and get involved in all kinds of everything else. Now, having said that little bit, over to Luke 24. And in Luke chapter 24, Jesus only, God only. Jesus is the finisher, he's the author, he's the one you're looking to. And that's what you do. And you have to practice that. If you don't understand it, you won't do it. You have to practice it. I got to know what I'm supposed to do. What do I look at? Where do I trust? Where do I go? Chapter 24 of Luke, all kinds of things, but let's go to verse 24. This is after his resurrection. And when he said unto them, disciples, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Fulfilled about what? Concerning me, he said. Genesis, about you. Revelation, about you. The Psalms, about you. It's your word, your word, your word, your word, your word. Over, if you would, please, to, Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 again. So, God, we got to look. Now, and you know from, I don't have to turn there, in Isaiah chapter 6, and the Lord said, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, verse 8, here am I, send me. And then he got his assignment. Well, what was his assignment? His assignment was to go to Israel, who wouldn't believe. They weren't going to believe. They're going to have the Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity and Titus in 70 AD and the tribulation coming up. They're going to have the whole ball of wax. That's what they're going to have. And they don't want anything. So Elijah sent to them to tell all the Israel that they have eyes and ears and understanding. Pick it up with me in verse 13. As we're doing this, put it in your own little head and heart, and then so you can see it in the world you live in. You want to be able to answer. You want to be able to have sure footing as you proceed in the light of the news, in the light of the things that happen and are going to happen. You need to have a solid place to put your heart and foot. And that's how you're going to make it. Hang on. You're not going to make it otherwise, because everything is going to be overwhelming. And the overwhelming things are going to catch our attention. We say, oh no, the democracy's attacked and so, and they hear this and say that, and this Senate is doing this, the dumb thing, and the other senator is doing a dumb thing. Wow. Now, Matthew chapter 13 picks up the unbelief of Israel. And so you're going to pick it up in 13, Acts 28, etc. Here's chapter 13 again. Watch it now. We're looking at Israel. What's the problem? They aren't going to trust God, Jesus only. They aren't doing that. They aren't going to do that. They're caught up in their system and their Talmud and everything else. So chapter 13, may go to verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Three things: they aren't seeing, they aren't hearing, they aren't understanding. Sliding down for time's sake, you're going to read it, verse 14, 15, verse 15. For this people hard as wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed. Because they don't want to see, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. They don't want that. They don't want that. People don't want that. That's Israel, let alone the world system. Israel doesn't want it. The world system, generally speaking, doesn't want it, apart from whosoever's to believe. Verse 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And that's the 11 disciples that are going to be there ultimately. Now, sliding over to verse 19. What do we know about the parable? Parable of the sower. And you'll know it, picking up, please, in verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. And this is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So as you go down through, what are you doing? God is seeking people, but people don't want to understand. They don't want to comprehend. They don't want to grasp, to take thoughts and words and bring them all together and grasp, understand, comprehend. They don't want to have a comprehension. An understanding. We just read two words and we don't understand where it's coming from, what it's about. We need to have a understanding, and God has to help us. But we got to overcome the system, our human nature. Therefore, and in verse 23, the parable, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold and some 60 and some 30. They're fruit. They got good ground. We want to have good ground. We want to have a heart to understand. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get an understanding. You're all little pots of soil out there, pots of soil, and we're trying to get the seeds in. And if you're kicking any seed in, no, you can't get any seed in. No, you got to be open. Whoop, down it goes. So you see it. Now, and therefore, you got to have good ground. Over to verse 51, our Lord is going to conclude that particular section. Jesus, 51:13-51. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? And they say unto him, Yea, Lord. Well, they haven't, but they would. Yes, we did. We heard you. Parable of the sower, mustard seed, all of those things. We heard them. God, did you understand? What happens if you don't understand? If you read it and don't understand? Then what good? It's true, you need to understand, and God has to help us to understand, to comprehend. And therefore, God's going to do just that for us. Therefore, go with me, please, in the light of that, over to old Romans and chapter 3. Romans and chapter 3, may pick up the thought. And you'll know, please, in the light of the convicting of the Jews and Gentiles, who are all guilty, and going to chapter 3 and verse 11. I'll read verse 10, 3 and 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there's your little word. There is none that seeketh after God. They don't want to understand. I remember we just read it in chapter 13. They didn't want to see, hear, or understand, lest they be healed, converted and healed. They don't want to be converted. They don't want to change. They don't want to get saved. So, to verse 12. Now they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. None of them are doing any good. No, down to verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, Jew and Gentile, and all the world may become guilty before God. There's no one that isn't guilty. Christ died for all. All are sinners. All are born dead in sin. They all need to be saved. And in the process, verse 12 again, there is none that doeth good. Now, what about good? Slide over, if you would, to chapter 2. And chapter 2. And you will note, please, in the light of a context and everything, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance, that's his delay, holding back, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So God is good, I walk in the valley, shadow of death, I fear no evil. What are you doing, David? I'm looking for God. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm looking for God. How are we going to go? We've got to look for good. How are we going to find good? To God. God is good. God is good. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, in the light of all of this, picking over in chapter 7. And in chapter 7, picking up in thought, remember the good, and to understand, we need to understand. Now, Paul is going to help us in his experience. God records it. And in chapter 7, you recall, here's the good. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. So verse 18, 7 and 18. We've got to work out good. Okay. We get saved, come to know the Lord as our Savior. That's a good thing. Romans 2, 4. We repent and get saved. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I don't know how to do good. I know good. People try to be morally, humanly good, and they are, most of them. That's why we're comfortable going to the store. And we're, because people are generally good, humanly good. They're reasonable. At least they were. Now, so in the process of it's this thing, but I don't, the good that I need, I'm looking this way, and going in the grocery store was all right, and doing this is all right, and my pizza was good, and everything's okay. It's good. Now, I got to answer in that light of goodness in my mind, the system that's happening and going to happen to me. And I got to look at that, and that isn't good. No, it isn't good. No way, shape, or form is it good. But, good. So what happened to the good? Well, everything was good till I heard that or read that or whatever I had to do, and it's good. But it isn't good anymore. So how do I recover that? Right now, I lost the happiness, the good, wonderful future, whatever you're going to do. what happened to the good? Well, I'm not approaching it right. I'm trying to answer good based on my understanding of good, based on my comparison of things, and I'm looking at it from good. But I need to look to God, who is good. If I don't get God in the picture, God, straightway, Jesus only, God, no one, nothing else, period. Nothing about the weather, people, persons, place, things, angels, whatever, nothing. So God, we're looking to you to help us to get there. And so, verse 19, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Because we got an evil nature. We got an old nature. David, you're going to keep us? You either walk through the darkness, I will fear no evil. But evil's everywhere. Well, how are we going to do it? Well, God, you got to help us. Otherwise, we aren't going to go. Otherwise, we're going to go in the dark. And we're supposed to walk in the light. But there is no dark light. Ah, that's electricity in the power plant. Not that light. That light doesn't help me in the light of all that's happening. That light doesn't help me. No. I need another kind of light. I need another resource, or I'm not going to make it. Because I'm looking. I'm not going to handle this. And depending on how loose you are and how indifferent you are, and like someone said the other, if you want, very American, patriotic and stuff, flag and everything. Many people aren't. And so they don't see any big deal in this. It's the people that have an understanding of yesterday. And as it disappears, and being taken from us, literally. Now, so here we are, verse 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So we're looking to God, and God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. Now, remember reality, the word truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God, he's the true God. What is truth? The word truth, we looked and studied all that, is the word reality. Truth, real. This wood is real. You're real. You're real. You're real. True. That's what you really are. What people are, not what they think they are, not what they want to be, it's what they are. So here's the truth and reality and truth, by the way, the right and the real of everything. You do not, no one makes truth true. Truth, your belief, your thinking, your philosophy, your science, and the three books you wrote do not make something true. It either is true or it isn't true. And that's true in every area. And we have a virus, right, that's trying to fool around with, virus. And that virus and the vaccine, all that, all you're doing is exercising known what we have discovered in the process of history, time, of what we understand about chemicals and everything else. And all we do is apply what already is existent. That's how we went to the moon. That's how you do space. That's how you do anything. It's because God has made something. You can't find something if it isn't there. I had a doctor tell me once, they're going to clone. I said, they can't clone. You can't make a person. If they do the thing right, egg and seed and all of that, if they could do that properly, they could make a person. By that I mean from a physical end of it, you could do it. But you can't violate that. It's the rule. So you don't make anything true. So people say, this is what I believe. They're welcome to it. Understand? I believe that I'm an it. I'm an it. Of the 84 different things you could be these days. I'm an it. Does that make me an it? And you're going to argue about what? That he's an it? And no, forget this isn't coming out. It. It isn't. You can believe whatever you want. Believing doesn't make you an it. Believing doesn't make anything true. Do you understand? So don't get upset with people that are so strong in saying something. It only can be true if it is true. in the light of all the everything, all evidence. It can't be true otherwise. We don't make anything true at all. So when you get caught up in something and say, well, boy, they said and I said, well, everyone has the right to say what they want and believe what they want and think what they want. The moon's made of green cheese. Welcome. Lots of mice. You got it. Wow. You can say what you want, but don't get locked in and all upset about it. You can believe it. That's what I'd say. I believe in somebody, then believe it, you know. That's fine if you believe you're that. You believe this. You believe that the global warming. Oh, you go ahead and believe it if you want. It isn't true, but go ahead. You see, evolution is true. Oh, no, it isn't. Go ahead and believe it if you want. And believe whatever you want. Communism. But communism isn't real. Communism doesn't work. That's the only thing you have after socialism. Socialism turns to communism to try to work. It doesn't work. That's what we're going to become. At least they're trying to do that up there at the White House. And not in the White House, in the other house. Houses, Congress and that. That's where we're going to go. That's what they are. Got communists in the things. They just elected them. So what? That's what they're doing. And that's where it's going. And that's fine. They can do that. They can do whatever you want. I'm just saying, it won't work. Why won't it work? Because God has condemned it. God has condemned the world system. Do you understand? So all that is not right, not good, and not true cannot survive. And God said it. The evil world system. The God of this world. He isn't a God. He isn't God, but he plays God. He wants to be like God, but he isn't God. You see? He isn't God. No. So, here we are, looking at God and trying to see and understand. So we don't make anything true. It either is true or it isn't true. And global warming and all of those different things. So, here we are trying to fix America to unfix, that mean to fix it. I'm trying to think there's a whole system out there. I have it somewhere, I put it away. Great something, great reset, whatever it is. It's happening in different countries and it's a big movement to refix the whole world. The virus has made it to be able to fix the world, to make it fair. Every country, to make it all fair. And it's a big thing, big, big deal thing out there. And all of that type of thing, they're busy out there in one form or another trying to promote whatever they think in whatever way they want. When it's all done, they answer to God, and God wins. That's all. Watch. Here we are doing our thing, and we do it. And here's evolution, and here's all these things. And we do all this, and we write books, and we do it. And we do it. Yay! And then we die. Now what happened to everything? The reality became real. So, it doesn't pay. No. So don't get upset with them. And that'll bother them because you don't get upset. You know, you don't feed it. You don't have to feed what they're doing. So God, here we are looking, and you're going to do what you do, and we aren't going to have our republic, our declaration, our constitution, like John Adams and all that, unless you look to God and believe God in some form or fashion. The constitution and them are useless to you. And they don't care about that anyway. So it'd be interesting if they take an oath, I'll support the Constitution. That'd be interesting. But in the system, so here we are looking to fix America. We got to fix it in the light of all of its inequities and unfairness and the evil that it's done. And we've got to judge America and do it. That's what's going on, all of that stuff. And so the wars were all fought. I'll bet you most of veterans, I don't think they fought for communism. I don't think they fought for socialism. I don't think so. I don't think they went to war about having socialism. And so all of that sits out there, and another thing to consider. So in the light of all of these things happening and God, and you're going to go and the virus and all of these triggered all of this, the disputes, the dismay, the uncertainty and everything. And so we have the fear, and then we have the control, got to have control to help people so they don't be afraid. And then when we've got control, we conform, get them to conform to now what we're doing, and to keep it. And after all, mask and everything, that's a good business. Gloves, mask, and everything. So we're going to do that. And then what do? We conquer them. Conform and conquer them. Like in communism. The little group controls the whole group. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. Wow. So now, God, having said that little bit, so over, if you can, now to Philippians in the light of that. Now that was my introduction to help you. That's the, you need to have a understanding. An understanding heart, to be able to have comprehension, to be able to understand, to put the pieces together. If you don't understand, then you're very vulnerable to whatever. So, God, what are we supposed to be comprehending? Well, make sure you understand what? Make sure that you understand. We're going to go what? We're going to understand we ought to be confident. We ought to be very confident. How are we going to be confident? Looking to God. Not looking to any person. Not looking in the mirror. Not looking at your health, your wealth. Not looking at anybody, anywhere, anything, anyhow. Look at nothing, no one. Save God only. God. Why am I going to do that? Well, I say, God, if you fix this, and God, if you do this, but then I'm looking to do something, to fix something, and I want to look to God. Now, do I need to tell God how to fix something? Do I need to tell God how to do something? What am I going to do, God? I'm going to trust you because you know everything. You have omnipotent power, ever-present. There's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you don't know. God, plus nobody, plus nothing. Understand? Period. His person. That's what you're doing. You aren't trusting things that what you see, touch, taste. No, you're trusting the wonderful person and presence of God. Philippians, and you will note, please, in verse 6, starting us off anyway, being confident, being fully, that's the word, faith, to be fully, faith comes from that, fully persuaded. Philippians 1:6, being confident, fully persuaded, convinced of this very thing. That, what is that? What, that, that what? He, God, which hath begun a, what kind of work? A good work. Where did he begin the good work? You? We'll perform it. He's doing the good work. If he's where he's doing it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's saving us, saving the believing heart to the uttermost. So the believing heart is going to look to God, being fully persuaded by his words, being convinced without any question that God has given us his word. God said, don't add or subtract to it, Deuteronomy, Revelation 22, don't add or subtract to the word. Well, what is the words? The words. Well, where do the words come from? They came from Jesus Christ, John 1:14. Who is the Word? He is the Word of the words. These words, Luke 24, that, All of it is about me. The words from God about him. That's what I am. Wow. Well, that's what it is. And so, God, you're doing the wonderful words. They're all about you. That's right. I am the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word, John 1:1. Wow. So the Word. Uh-huh. The words. Wow. I've begun a good work, and I want you to be confident. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be thoroughly persuaded that he which hath begun a good work is doing it. Doing it. Is doing it. Until he's finished. He's the leader, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the leader, and finisher of our faith. What we're believing. I'm looking, I'm believing. God saves me to the uttermost. God does all these things for us, and that's what they are. It's in a word. So we believe. That's us. That's it. It isn't a secret. Just people don't do it. Jesus only. And that's what you have. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, it's a person. You're looking to the person of God. For who owns your body? He does. From head to toe. He owns your body. He bought it with a price. It's all about him. All about him. And so you look to God. But what are we going to do? This isn't a question of what's going to happen or how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. It's God. We're going to trust you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Say, shouldn't you say more prayers? Thank you, God. Shouldn't you have a whole lot of something? But what? God, you got it. You got the football. You got the game. It's already played. We're on a playing field, like we said, where the bad guys have no rules and the referees are for them. So there's no rules in the game. And the dumb public, not the dumb public, but people that go by law and order are stuck because they don't know how the bad guys override everything. So we got courts. What good are courts? What good are judges? What good's the FBI? What happens if you don't do anything? It doesn't do any good. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to want what you told us to do in the first place. When everything was wonderful in your life, you lived in the island of somewhere with 4,000 everything in your favor. You don't live there now. But what's the difference? You needed to trust God 10 years ago the same as you do now. Only the trouble is now, it's showing up a little more that, boy, maybe I need to trust him. Maybe I need to look at this. You see, well, I can just say, no, you can't sail along. You can't do that anymore. No. So you're stuck. That's a good way. It's a wonderful thing to get stuck. You can't pull off the excuses in the way you did it because it won't work. Not that you guys don't do that, but do we have to see it? So God, here we are looking. Closing, if you would, over to Psalm 138. I hope you got a little bit. We didn't get very far, but Psalm 138, where we were, is good. And God says it. 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise, said David. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name. For thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified, enlarged, you've caused your word, magnified, causative, thy word above all thy name. And God's wonderful name, he does it for his name's sake. But he's put himself on the line, we've said it many times. He put himself on the line when he gave you that Bible and those words. He put himself on the line. That's what he did. And man, God said, when you read that word, it's about me. They're my words in the original language. So when you read it, that's what I did. I gave you my Bible. You can't see me, said God. But I gave you my word so you can enjoy me, trust me, learn how to walk with me.